We're up to Masechta Eidim of Da'alam al-Aleph. We're talking about the different kinds of Amas. Either it's made up of 5 Tvachim or made up of 6 Tvachim, or each Amma is expansive or narrowed. And I did tell you one little mistake yesterday. We were talking about the Mizbeach, how different positions of the Mizbeach used different kinds of Tvachim. So this is how it works. The very base of the Mizbeach going up is one Amma, and that was an Amma made up only of 5 Tvachim. Yesterday I said it depends on vertical or horizontal. Actually, it varied. So the very first Amma, the base, it went up. It was only one Amma, but made up of 5 Tvachim. And then the platform around it, it went in for an Amma, and that Amma was made up of 6 Tvachim. Then it climbed up another 5 Ammas, and that was 6 Tvachim. And then you have the perimeter of the second half of the Mizbech, where the Kohenim used to walk around. That's called the Seiviv, that surrounds it, and that was 5 Tvachim. Then it rose another 3 Ammas. These Ammas were made up of 6 Tvachim. And then you had the horns. Each horn, we said, was a zeres, that the radius was half of an amma, but those ammas were only 5 tvachim. Okay, so now we are up to the Gemara here. What do you call it? The two dots on the Davdala Amal Aleph, more than halfway down the page. Omar Rabchia Bar Ashi Omar Rav. So Rabchia, the son of Ashi, said the name of Rav, and we had a similar Gemara in Sukkah. And he says over here that, and Yosef Barbrachas, Shiurin, that the different sizes that we have, Shiurin, for example, the Chachamim say if you ate a kazayis or treif, you get lashes, or you bring a carbon, if you ate a treif of frats, you have to bring a carbon and all that, it's a kazayis. That's called a shir, the quantity. And chatzitzin. And the laws of chatzitza, which means that that if you go to the mikveh and there's something blocking, something adhesive to your skin that intercepts the water, that's called a chatzitza. And that prevents one from fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillah. So the laws of shiurim, different kinds of shiurim, as we'll see, the chatzitza. And umechitzin, the laws of mechitzas, that a mechitza, in order for a wall to qualify as a wall, it has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim high regarding a sukkah, Shabbos, and so on. These are all halacha l'moshe mesina. These are all halacha l'moshe mesina. In other words, they're not written in the Torah, they're not from the rabbis, they were given to us from Moshe Rabbeinu and Sinai, and the Rambam lays down a rule that any halacha l'moshe mesina, nobody can argue on such a halacha. There's no argument regarding halacha l'moshe mesina. Then they ask on the Rambam, because there are a few cases where it seems that they do argue. Anyway, says the Gemara, starting on through that statement, you're telling me Shiyudin is Halacha Moshe Sinai, Dor Aisahu is clearly in the Torah, where's it in the Torah, the Chsiv? And we read in last week's Parsha, edits, Israel is describing Israel, it's a land made up of Chita, of wheat, Seirda, barley, and so on, goes through a different species, there's 7 different ones. V'omar Abchanan made a comment, and he said, that Kol HaPasuk is this entire Pasuk, L'Shiyudin, why does he itemize and highlight these 7 different kinds of food items, is to tell you that each one of them we use as a measure to know a shear for a certain thing. For example, chita. The first thing is it's a land made up of wheat. Where do we need to know wheat? Get it now. We learned hanichnis lebeis hamenuga. If somebody walks into a house that is filled with leprosy, if you walk into a house of menuga, you walk into a leper's house, you become tummy. And depends now. What about the clothing and other items you have with you? So it depends. V'kelev al ksefav. If the kelim, if you're let's say clothing, you're just carrying it over your shoulders. You're not wearing it as clothes. V'sandal of the tabayis of the yadam, and your shoes and your fingers are in and your rings are in your hand. Who v'heim tamei miyad? You become tamei straight away. Because it says habol abayis. Anybody enters the house becomes tamei. But what about how you lovush kelev? You're wearing these clothes or sandal of the shoes, beraglav on his feet, with tabayis of bez and your rings on your finger. What happens then? He becomes tamei straight away. So when you wear clothes, the clothes now become part of you. And here we have a special pasuk where it says that when you go into a house that is tamei, not only do you become tamei, but your clothes as well that you are wearing. But there it describes the activity, not when you walk in, it doesn't say habba as you walk in, rather it says v'ha'oichel b'bayis. If you're eating in the house, then you have to wash your clothes. So now it doesn't mean necessarily you have to eat in the house. It means you have to be there long enough to have a meal, to eat. How long is that? So we say, whom tummy? You tummy straight away because you entered the house. But regarding your clothes, v'hein toid in their toid ad, unless sheyisha, you delayed yourself there b'chdei long enough to eat achilos pras, to eat a half a loaf of bread, which is the size of a meal. A loaf of bread, there's an argument in Rashi in the Rambam. According to Rashi, it's 4 eggs, so a half a loaf is 2 eggs, and that's the size of a meal. And according to the Rambam, a loaf of bread is 3 eggs and a half is an egg and a half. But the time it takes you to eat two eggs of bread, that's how long you have to remain in the house before your clothes become tummy, they have to be washed. Now, what kind of bread? Pas, chitin. It has to be bread made out of wheat. Velo pasoi, not barley. And Rashi says that bread made out of wheat, you consume much quicker. And masiv, not while you're standing, but reclining. Because when you're reclining, you eat a lot quicker than when you're standing. And ve'ochel belifto, you eat it together with some turnip or some other food, which makes it a lot easier to eat, or you eat it a lot quicker. And so therefore, that's what we use wheat for. Okay, so liftin is like some kind of a food that you eat together with bread. Says the Gemara, so that's chitin. So we see it's coming to give you the shear of how long you have to be in the house of a leper. Sa'eda, what about barley? The Torah says, Eretz chita sa'eda. Sa'eda, barley, that now we learned, etzem, a bone. Ki sa'eda, a bone of a sheretz. If you touch a dead carcass of a person, if you touch a dead carcass of a rodent, you become tummy. What size bone does it have to be? The size of a barley. If the bone is the size of a barley, you become tummy. When? B'magwa masa, only by touching or lifting. But the enema tummy boil, but just sitting in the same room as you, it has to be a kezias, not a bone. So we see here, a barley is used to determine the size of a bone if you touch. Geffen, it says, Eretz chitas oyre geffen. What does geffen come in? Grapes. Kedei devias yayin l'nozer. How much wine should a nazir, somebody who abstains, who says he's going to abstain from drinking wine, taking a haircut, and going to, and defiling themselves by going to a cemetery, how much wine is the measure of a revius? That's how Rashi learns here. The long taste totally disagrees, because till now we're learning that this is like an acid test or like a yardstick for other averas. The way Rashi explains a nazir, this is a yardstick for its own avera. So therefore, Tosfos learns is talking about if you're eating grapes and parts of the vine, how much? Normally it's a kezayis, but over here it's as much as you can put into a cup that can contain a revius wine and displaces the volume, then we know how much grapes. So it's coming to use as a measuring cup. Te'ena, when it says figs, what do we need that for? Because Gregor's like Shabbos, we learned recently in Shabbos that when you carry on Shabbos, there has to be a minimum amount that you carry before you have to bring a carbon chattas. How much you have to carry? The size of a dried fig. So that's what's used for Shabbos. Rima in a pomegranate, where do we use it? Because the Pasuk says then, you know, describing it to Israel, it says also a land that produces pomegranates. We learned also in Shabbos regarding tumah. If you have a vessel that became impure, and then you make a hole in the vessel so it can no longer be used, then we say that the vessel lost its tumah. And if you fix it up, it's a brand new pani chadash bolakan. But if, let's say, you were using it for something small, and then it got a hole. If the hole is the size of an olive, for example, you can still use the vessel for larger things, like for nuts. If the hole is larger than that and nuts fall through, you can still use it for pomegranates. As long as you can still store pomegranates in there, the vessel still has a use and does not lose its tumah. It's only when you cannot even use it for pomegranates, you say it lost its complete status. Okay, now we learned, kol kli balabatim, all the kelim, all the vessels of a balabas, shiurin. When do we say it still retains the identity of a vessel? Kirimonim, if it can store there pomegranates. Then the next half of the pasuk says, edits a land, zei shemen, of oil and honey. What do you mean, zei shemen? So, edits a land, shekol shiurah kizesim, because we use an olive, the size of an olive, to tell you about mitzvahs, how much you have to eat from matzah and all that, and treif and all that, how much you have to eat from treif to be over. Says the Gemara, kol shiurah, says that all shiurah, but ikahani nami, you just mentioned a number of other things where we use different yardsticks, different measuring amounts than an olive. Ela'ema say, edits a land, shiurah kizesim, the most of the shiurim of the Torah are based on the olive that grows in Eretz Yisrael. And dvash, honey, when the Torah says, whenever we say in the Torah honey, we don't mean honey of bees, it means honey of dates. And where do we use honey of dates for a measure? Says the Gemara. Ki kaiseves hagasa, we have over here the dried date. L'yom hakipurim, how much shouldn't you eat Yom Kippur before you say you're liable for karis? So normally it's a kazayit, but when it comes to Yom Kippur, we say the main thing is to calm you down, to take away your hunger. It's a different shear altogether than a normal kazayit, and here it is, the size of a large date. And therefore, the size of a large date, that's what we use for Yom Kippur. So the Gemara's question is, what are you telling me that shiur in halacha mashir sinai? We see it's all based on a pasuk, says the Gemara. But Tidu, that's a question. Shiur in michtek sivi, where in this pasuk at all does it say that these kinds of food that we're talking about is somehow or another are the basis for different shiurim. It goes back to what we said. It's halacha majasinai. Then the chachamim, once we had the halachas, we found a pasuk so we can lean on that pasuk, just so we should remember. So therefore, it's only asmachta. Mostly you're right. But let's go to the next one. Chatzitzin. You're telling me that chatzitzin is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. If you go to the mikveh and there's a blockage there, something adhesive to your skin, the rice in it says clean the Torah. Where's that clean the Torah? The chsiv. It says in the Torah, it says kol psari b'mayim. You should wash the entire flesh in water. What do you mean entire flesh? Lay the b'chaytze b'psari b'mayim. You learn from there that nothing should intercept between the water and your skin. So the Gemara, then the pasuk says b'may mikveh. You should wash the entire flesh and in the water of mikveh. What do you mean kol psari b'mayim? What do you mean all your flesh? Kol gufa oyle behen. How much water should be in the mikveh enough that when you go inside and you crouch, the water would rise and cover your entire body, which is what an ama al ama b'reim gimel amas. If you have a box or a utensil that is 3 amas tall and 1 ama wide, and that's how much water you need. The Chacham then different decided how much water we're talking about. Mem sa, 40 sa. So the question is, this is clearly here that chatzitz is a problem from the Torah. What did Tamar Lachem Sinai? Says, well, you're right. But ki itzeh chirasa l'saray. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai is regarding a person's hair. A person's hair also cannot be tangled, especially a woman goes to the mikveh, cannot be tangled, or a man, a zov goes to the mikveh, cannot be tangled. And that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, because when you tangle the hair and they're knotted together, if they're knotted, how does the water get in? And the Amar Rabba Rav Huna, nima achas, if it's only one hair that's knotted, k'shura chaytzetzes, usually it's very tight and water can't get in. Shalosh, you have 3 hairs sort of knotted together, ein chaytzes, there's plenty of gaps there so water can enter. Shtayim, ein yedeya. 2, I'm not 100% sure, is it tight enough that water cannot get in or not? Bottom line is, so we see from here, so we can say that here is what's halacha m'sinai. That's not true either. Sari namidai, so even here also that it shouldn't be knotted, that water should be able to enter, is from the Torah. The time we learned, v'rochatz es kol b'sari. So from the word kol b'sari, we learn that the entire flesh has to be exposed to the water. Es, we learn by b'kama rule. And that whenever it says es, it means secondary. And not only your basar has to be free from any adhesions, but so too, S, that's secondary. What's secondary to your flesh? Your hair. S had tafel upsari, your hair also shouldn't have anything there that's impeding the water from entering, so it's mahat Torah. So Gemara says, you're right. There's a certain part from the Torah, and then there's a certain part, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And then there's a certain part, which is the Rabban. So there are 3 grades. Ki us, in other words, mahat Torah, only if all your hair is blocked. What's halacha m'sinai? Come and tell you, the rubai, if you have a majority of your hair is blocked, even if you don't really care about that blockage, or miyutai, if only a minority of your hair, but you do care. Well, the makpid, if you're particular about it, or she'e makpid. Makpid with a little bit of hair, or a makpid, you're not particular if it's a lot of hair. Ukarab yitzchak. And this followed, according to the majority of your hair, and you're particular about it. Has a blockage, I mean, particularly means you want to remove it, then it's a chatzitza. That's from the Torah. Come along, halacha m'sinai. That's about Torah. Comes along, what do you call it? Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Comes along the Rabban and say, Gozru, the Rabban came along and made a gzeda. Rabban made a long, made a gzeda. It's not it. So, Torah is only if it's all the hair. The Rabban, the halacha m'sinai came along and said, if ruba your makpid, majority of you here, and you're particular, then it's no good. Then the Rabbanon stepped in the next grade and they said the following. They said, we're going to make a gzera. They said, which means halacha m'sinai, ruba umakpid olav chaytzes, majority of you here is knotted and it bothers you, then it's chatzitza. If she ain't a makpid olav, if you're not particular about it, ain't a chaytzes. The gozrei al rubei she'ena makvid, mishum rubei makvid. The rabbanon came in and said, you know what? That even if you're not particular, mostly here is not it. It's no good. The al miyutei hamakvid, or even a minority of you here, but if it bothers you, then it's no good. Mishum rubei makvid. And therefore, so these are the 3 grades that we have. Says the Gemara, the leagues of nami al miyutei she'ena makvid. Why don't we already go one more gzeid and say that even if a few hairs and you don't even care about it, it should also be part of the gzeid. It should be us from the rabbanon and say it's not a valid mikveh. Mishimira Makbid. Let's say that if you have a little bit of hair and you're not particular, it should still be usher, because next time you have a little bit of hair and you will be particular and you're not going to be so concerned and you're not going to, and you think the mikvah is all right. Or you know, Mishimira Makbid. Or say, if you have a little bit of hair and you don't care, if you allow you to go to mikvah, next time you have a lot of hair and you don't care, you think you're allowed to go to mikvah. Says the Gemara, he goof exeder. The whole idea of having a lot of hair and you don't care, or a little bit and you do care, that it should impede. If it impedes the water, you didn't do a valid mikveh. You didn't go to a valid mikveh. It's only with rabbanon. And we have a rule: we don't compound the rabbanons. Vanan nekem and nigz exeder zeder. What do you say? That even a little bit of hair, if you're not particular, should be forbidden, because next time you'll have a little bit here and you are particular. Even if you have a little bit here and you are particular, it's only the rabbanon. We don't make a protection for the rabbanon. We don't make exeder to exeder. Okay, so we've established that there is an aspect of chatzitza from the halacha of Shusina, and that's of roiv and makbid. Big machleg is Rashi and Tesis. According to Rashi, that's talking about hair, not about your body. According to Tesis, it's talking about your hair and your body together. Now, according to Rashi, your body, even a small little amount, a minutest amount, is a chatzitza. According to Tesis, no. If there's a little bit of adhesion on your skin and you don't really care about it, it's not a chatzitza at all. It's only if it's in the majority and you don't care, or minority, and you do care. So I think about it further. Mechitzas, you're telling me that's from the Halachzina, that I see, don't matter, we learned, how do you know that a mechitza wall has to be 10 tefachim high? So we learned the Gemara Sukkah. Oren, how tall was the Oren? It says in the Torah, 1.5 amas tall. We know an amas 6 tefachim, so that's 9 tefachim. And the kapaitis is 1 tefach thick, so therefore there was 10 tefachim in total. Harikana Soren says that Hashem never went below the 10. Hashem spoke to Moshe from above the Oren. So we see that Hashem was in a different dimension, and he was above 10 tefachim. That tells us that a wall that is considered 10 tefachim. So the question is, so it's from the Torah. What are you telling me, Talach Moshe Mesinai? Anybody know? Because remember, we discussed yesterday, there's an argument Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, when it came to the kingdom of the base of Migdash, did they use Amos of 6 or Amos of 5? If you follow Rabbi Yehuda, that they used Amos of 5, so 1.5 Amos would be 7.5 Tvachim, and then the Kapiris is another Tvachim, 8.5 Tvachim. So if you learn from that Pasuk, then a Mechitza would only be 8.5 Tvachim tall. Came along a Lachim Meshach and says 10, so we do need a Lachim Meshach tonight. Says the Gemara, Leitzicha Rabbi Yehuda, this is a golden court, Rabbi Yehuda, Damar, Amas binyan, that the amas used for the building and construction of the base of Migdash of the Mishkan is ba'amba bashisha was 6 tefachim. But amas kelim, talk about the utensils of the Mishkan, ba'amba bas chamisha. That's why we need that. Says the Gemara. And because how do we know that Hashem did not go below the Oren? Because it says Hashemayim Shemayim Hashem Va'oras Nosan L'Bnei Adam, and we say that that's the partition. The partition is 10 tefachim, and below 10 tefachim is considered Oretz, and above there is considered Shemayim. So we see that a proper wall is 10 tefachim high. Or Rameyah says, well, fine, that's Rabbi Yehuda. But according to Rameyah, the Amor says, Kol Amos Ve'Bein is all the Amos that were used, whether construction or the utensils, 6 tefachim, which means there's 10 tefachim. So we take a no mechitza from the Torah. What do we need? Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Or Rameyah, no, Kol Amos Ve'Bein is my equal member. We can say then. So we answer Rameyah, you're right. Kol Rameyah, ki asoy hilchasel. You know what you need Halacha Mesinai for? The following rules. The good, the rule of good, which is called good achas, which means that we have a wall suspended above. And then we imagine that the wall comes all the way down. That's called good. We stretch achas downwards. Or good asik. You have a sukkah, let's say. You have a wall 10 tefachim, but the roof, the schach, is much higher. It's not touching. They're not contiguous. Then we imagine the wall continues upwards. That's called good. We are dragging it asik, upwards. So those two rules. And another rule is a lavud. If you have a gap in your sukkah, let's say less than 3 tefachim, or on Shabbos, less than 3 tefachim on the ground, we say as if the ground is thicker, as if the roof is closed off, that we combine the two together. That's love. It is also a din for Halacha Mishinai. And love means that it's sort of attached or ancillary to whatever's around it. And the last one is L'doifin Akumu, which we discussed yesterday, where if you have a ledge in the roof and it's less than 4 amas, the ledge, and therefore the schach, the kosher schach, is not contiguous to the walls. But if that ledge is less than 4 amas wide, we imagine that ledge became part of the wall. Or we imagine that the wall shifted and went on an incline to where the kosher schach is. That rule of 4 amas is also halacha l'moshe mesinai. Says the Gemara further, we learned that this beam going across, if you want to carry in that street, you need one of the, is either a beam or a post. We learned that this beam going across, if it's above 20 amas, what you do, you should reduce it. Says the Gemara, you want to reduce it. How do you reduce it? There's different ways of doing it. One is physically lowering the beam, but many times, in most cases, you can't. because it's sitting there on the walls, and you can't lower the walls. So what you do is you raise the ground. You fill the earth underneath with that beam. So now if you're standing underneath that beam, you're less than 20 amas. So the question is, so that how much depth does that earth have to have? Because we have, you know, we have a depth called four tefachim. Generally speaking, we learn in the laws of Shabbos that space, to be considered a space, has to have four tefachim, because that gives it some depth and that gives it some, you know, significance. But sometimes we have the law of a tefach. So which one is it here? How much sand do you have to fill underneath the entire width of the beam? Because wherever any part that you're walking underneath, you should be, you know, less than 20 amas. But how deep does it have to be? So we have an argument between Rabbi Yosef and a student, Abaya. It was higher than 20 amas of bowl amount that comes to reduce it. Kama mayit, how much? Kama mayit, says he might win how much? Kama tzorichle. If let's say it's 22 amas high, you have to raise this, you know, the ground by 2 amas in a bit. What do you mean, how much? The Gemara explains, Ela roch lebekama, the depth. How deep does it have to be into the mavli that we say that, you know, you have to raise the ground? The Rabbi Yosef says only one tefach. And Abaya Amar Abba 4. What's going on here? Lema, let us say, Bahokam Ifiki. We're going to have, in the Gemara, Gemara has different opinions. Whether the Koira, what's the purpose of this beam or the role of this beam? Is it, do we say, Pitikra Yoyed Vesaisim? We imagine that the edge of this beam comes right down as if it's a wall. Or is it purely as a reminder? Or is it both? It acts as a wall, but we also want it to be a reminder that people realize, hey, I'm carrying inside the street because it has three walls, but I shouldn't go beyond this point because that's a public space. Now, there's an argument when you say Pitikra Yoyed Vesaisim, on which side of the beam? I'm standing in the Mavli, and you have a beam going across. Is it the side of the beam that's facing the Mavli, the inside of the beam, that is considered particular, which means you're allowed to carry in the Mavli, but you're not allowed to carry directly under the beam because there's no wall there. Then that's exposed to the street. Or do we say Pitikri Eresesim is on the side of the beam which is facing the Shusarabim, and you're allowed to carry not only in the Mavli but even directly underneath that beam? So the Gemara said, maybe that's the argument of Rabbi Yosef and Abaya. He holds you allowed to stand underneath the beam because he believes that the imaginary wall goes on the edge of the end of the beam facing the Shusarabim. And since you also have to be able to recognize it, and he's standing underneath the beam, he will see right away that he's, because it's under 20 amas where he's standing, and he's allowed to carry there, so he's standing there with an item in his hand, and right there he sees the beam because it's below 20 amas. And we said before, below 20, you'll notice it. And if that's good enough. Uman Domer Abaye, who says, Abo, we need four tefachim, he holds, also, you're not allowed to stand under the beam and carry anything, because he holds the inner, it's the side of the beam facing the Mavi, that's the imaginary wall. But now, and now, when you're standing in the Mavi, you don't see, when you're carrying something, you don't see the beam, because the beam is not above your head. It's more than 20 amas above your head. Only if you be standing underneath, directly underneath the beam, will you see the beam. But by then, it's too late. You already carried on Shabbos. What's the point then? Therefore, we need four tefachim. The idea of four tefachim is the beam itself might have been only one tefach deep. We want a few more tefachim into the mavi. So when you're going to stand on that section which you're allowed to carry, you look up and you will see that beam. Oh, you say, I better stop over here. That's why he needs four tefachim to go beyond the beam. The Gemara says, like, you don't have to necessarily conclude that way. The Kuli Amai can say, everyone agrees, maybe we'll hold you allowed to stand and carry underneath the beam. So why is Abai say four tefachim? Ubahakam ifugi. Ma'asav alon holds that the whole purpose of the beam is mishum koira, is mishum hekar, only that we should be able to recognize it. You shouldn't walk in shusar abim. So therefore, if you're standing on tefach, you look up, you see the beam. That's enough to remind you not to go outside. Ubahasav koira mishum chitzad. Alon holds koira is a wall, and what do we know about a wall? A wall does not have a din of a wall unless it's encircling an area of a space of a minimum of four tefachim. Otherwise, it's not considered a wall. And therefore, he says, we're all agreeing that the outside of the koira is facing the shusharabim. That's where this imaginary wall is. But nevertheless, if you don't have four tefachim, then there's no wall there. And you need an area it's enclosed that's four tefachim wide and a mechitza four tefachim. Therefore, we need... there should be less than 20 amas from the koira to the floor for distance of four tefachim. Otherwise, it's lacking in a wall. It's not lacking in the koira, it's lacking in the wall. Like we learned before, Shusha Yachid, the minimum size of Shusha Yachid in Mar Shabbos, we learned, is four tefachim by four tefachim. So if you have, let's say, a house that has four walls, but the house itself is only two tefachim by two tefachim, it's not considered shusha yachid. Says the Gemara, another answer is maybe Kuliyam, everyone agrees, Kaidim Shum Hekka. It's purely for a reminder. So what's going on here? When we say that the Kaira is only a Hekka and the Kaira itself can only be a Tefach, what about that's on top? What about on the bottom when you're standing looking up? Is that sufficient on the bottom as well? Or on the bottom, you need a wider area so that you can be a valid reminder. So that's Machlekes. The Ma'asavar, I mean, Hekka Shemat, Hekka Shemat. Basically says whatever is sufficient above is sufficient below. As long, you know, if above it's enough a tefach tzad, so too down below. No, we say we need a bigger area down the bottom to be noticeable. He boy said, but the final answer is kuli yam min hekesh matkei shemayim. Everyone agrees that a tefach would have been enough. You know why Abaya insists on having four tefachim of sand placed there, a depth of four tefachim that will be less than 20 amas? Because Gzeida, he's worried over time, Shemi Yifchis Kamifli, over time, Abaya is worried that people walk all the time, the sand gets eroded, and eventually you won't have your 20 amas anymore. People won't even realize it. But if you have a depth of four tefachim, even with erodes at the ends, the margins, you'll always still have an area that's less than 20 amas from the beam to the ground. So it's a more practical question rather than a halachic question. Okay, so that ends today's Gemara.